Well, hello everyone, and again I greet you in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, thanking God for this privilege and opportunity I have of telling forth the wonderful story of redeeming love. The story of how Jesus Christ came from heaven, how he was born of the virgin called Mary, how he lived a sinless life on earth, yet died on the old rugged cross for our sins. But I thank God today that he's no longer on the cross, nor is he in the tomb, but he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Yes, the word of God makes it clear in Hebrews 10 and verse 12 that this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And friend, one of these days he's coming back again. Yes, the next great event on the prophetic calendar of God is the second coming of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it could be today. Yes, there need be not one prophecy fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air to claim from the world his own. Now with that solemn thought in mind, let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee that he was the expression of all thy love and thy mercy and grace to a fallen race. We thank thee, our God, for the value thou hast placed upon his death at Calvary. And our God, we who are saved today, thank thee that we have the blessed hope to look forward to. For he that shall come, and will not tarry. But our God, the joy we have within our own hearts and souls today is somewhat tempered by the knowledge that there are loved ones outside of Christ. O God, we pray for those who are near and dear to thy people, and yet our God, they're outside the fold. We pray for every unsaved listener today. May thy Holy Spirit take thy word and bring both conviction and conversion to their soul. We'll be so careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of him whom thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now before getting into the book today, let's listen to our first hymn, and it's entitled, In the Sweet By and By. Friends, I thank God today that in the sweet by and by, I'm going to join my Christian friends and relatives who've gone on before. Yes, I thank God for the assurance of his word which cannot lie, that one of these days I'm going to be with and like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ throughout the countless ages of all eternity. Now friends, those of you who have your Bibles handy and would care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today two separate portions of the word of God. The first found in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. Now for our second scripture, the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we'll begin reading at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now friends, in Hebrews 9 and 27, we read that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now friends, let me say to begin with, that there is no such thing as a general judgment taught in the word of God. And yet there are many people who believe this. Perhaps some of you listening in believe it. You believe that everyone will stand and be judged by God at a universal scene of judgment. Friend, that's not according to the Bible, the Word of God. So let's get that idea out of our head to begin with. Now then, in the latter portion of Revelation chapter 20, we have God's description of the last final judgment of the great white throne. This takes place after the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth, and just before the creation of the new heaven and new earth, of which we read in Revelation chapter 21. Now friends, this great white throne judgment is not to be confused with the judgment seat of Christ, which occurs before the thousand-year reign. In contrast to the great white throne judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, only those who are saved will appear. And they'll appear there to receive their rewards or lack of rewards according to their faithfulness since they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. But at the judgment of the great white throne in Revelation chapter 20, only the lost sinners will appear. There won't be one believer at this judgment seat, for it is a judgment of those who've been rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior and who have died in their sin. Yes, those who've rejected the message of salvation through faith in God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the lost of all the ages will appear before the judgment bar of God for their final judgment. And regardless of how long they've been dead, and regardless of whether they died in the sea or on the land, they shall be brought forth to stand before Him from whose face they would seek to hide. Now we read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12 that there are going to be some books opened at this judgment scene. Now what kind of books would be opened at the great white throne? Well, I believe that one of the books will be the Bible. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, here's what Jesus Christ says. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And how many people will say, oh, I didn't know that Jesus said you must be born again. And I didn't know that without the shedding of blood there was no remission for sin. Well, friend, your lack of knowledge concerning God's way of salvation will in no way excuse you from the judgment of the great white throne. You've had every opportunity in the world to search the Scriptures. You perhaps laughed and mocked at those who've sought to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've had no time to listen to the Word of God. You've been more interested in getting an education, a better job, or earthly possessions. But, friend, the Word of God is going to stand in judgment against you in that day. You'll be shown Romans chapter 3, which gives us God's picture of all mankind, and which concludes with these words, for there is no difference, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. You'll be shown John chapter 3, and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, and you'll be shown those words in 1 John 1 and 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now perhaps some of you are saying, well, our preacher doesn't teach us that. Well, to you I say, I hope you don't think that that excuse will find favor in the sight of a holy God. Listen, my friend, don't be a bit surprised if your preacher is standing beside you at the judgment of the great white throne. You know, the fact that an individual spends many years studying the Bible doesn't make him sure of going to heaven. If that were the case, the world would be full of seminary-trained men. Jesus Christ said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So regardless of who you are, if you've never been born again from above by the Holy Spirit and Word of God, you're still on your way to the place of eternal judgment that Jesus Christ called hell. Now to you who are listening to me today, have you ever seen yourself as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner? Have you ever seen your sins nailing God's Son to the cross of Calvary? Have you ever placed your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ? If not, the Bible, God's Word, will rise up in judgment against you before the great white throne. You who don't have time to read the Bible now, you'll hear God's Word then. You who are too proud to be seen opening the Scriptures now, you'll hear them then, my friend, and they'll haunt you throughout the endless ages as you weep and wail and gnash your teeth in the caverns of the doomed. Yes, my friend, at the judgment of the great white throne, one of the books to be opened will be the Bible. Would you not be wise today and believe what God has to say concerning your condition in His sight? And you, my friend, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I trust this will be the day when you close in with God's offer of love and mercy and grace expressed in the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if it were possible to hear the cries from hell today, I believe that you would hear words of warning from those who were there. Those who were just like you, perhaps, who, though having a Bible at their fingertips, refused to read what God had to say. And so I repeat, the Word of God will judge you in the last day. Another book which I believe will be opened at the judgment of the great white throne will be the Book of Works. The Book of Works. It contains the record of all the works, the thoughts and the deeds of all those who've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon the record of this book will be based the judgment of those who are lost. But you'll notice, my friend, that they are judged according to their works. It has therefore nothing to do with their destiny in heaven or in the lake of fire. No, my friend, at the great white throne judgment, it is not decided where they will spend eternity, but how they will spend eternity. They were all consigned to the lake of fire a long time ago, when they died in their sin. But when they died, their place of destiny was sealed forever, not on the basis of their works, but rather on the basis of what they had done with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As I've said many times before, the Bible teaches that works have absolutely nothing to do with the salvation of your soul. In Ephesians 2:8-9 we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And over in Titus 3:5, the Apostle Paul declares, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." And even the prophet Isaiah could say over 700 years before the birth of Christ, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." What some people seem to misunderstand is that the vilest of sinners can be saved the very moment he receives Christ as his personal Savior, whereas the most refined, dignified, and religious individual is lost unless that individual comes as a hell-deserving sinner and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Friend, there's absolutely no justification for sinners by so-called good works or religious ritual. In Romans 5:1 we read that we are justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, my friend, let's be perfectly clear on this matter. When the sinner trusts Christ, all his sins are canceled out. All his works before conversion are under the blood, and there's neither trace nor record of the believer's sins in this book of works at the great white throne. It contains only the records of the deeds of the lost. And when a sinner believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, God erases every record and the very memory of his sin. And instead, God writes the sinner's name in the book of life. But with the lost, at this judgment, it is just the reverse. The book of works contains the record of every sin, every idle word, every vile thought, every wicked deed ever committed. But at the same time, his name is among the missing in the book of life. And you cannot have a record in both books. Now perhaps you're asking, why the need for the book of works if they're all going to the lake of fire anyway? Well now, I believe that's a logical question, so let's just take a look at it. Friend, the reason for the book of works is to determine the degree of punishment. Did you hear that? The reason for the book of works at the great white throne judgment is to determine the degree of punishment. Those who've been more wicked than others will be punished more severely than others, because we know that the God of all the earth is just. Now, I don't say that to bring comfort to those of you who are upright and religious, because it's still going to be a place of indescribable torment for even the least wicked of all sinners. However, I believe that the teaching that all men will suffer in the same degree in hell is totally unscriptural. God is a just God who will deal with each individual on the basis of enlightenment, opportunity, conduct, and responsibility. I believe that those who've had the greater opportunity to hear and believe the gospel will receive the greater condemnation if they die outside of Christ. Yes, those who've had the most light and rejected it will suffer more because of it. Friend, I can't imagine the future torment of those who've been raised in a Christian home, heard the gospel all their lives, who know God's way of salvation, have been invited to come to Christ, and then have deliberately refused God's offer of mercy through the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, if you continue on in your sin of rejecting Christ as your Savior, I can say with the fear of God as my only reservation, you'll be in hell and the lake of fire as sure as you're listening to this program today. Friend, have you ever stopped to think of what it cost God to save your soul from hell? Have you ever thought about the love of God that sent his only begotten Son to earth to die for your sins and my sins too? Have you ever taken a look of faith towards the place called Calvary and seen the holy, spotless Lamb of God dying in your guilty room and in your stead? Well, I can only say that anyone and everyone who rejects such a free and full salvation through faith in the death of Christ doesn't deserve any mercy whatsoever from the hand of a righteous God. Yes, the wicked shall be judged according to their works, and that is why these books of the great white throne are brought forth, to show the absolute righteousness and the justice of their condemnation, which is to be meted out to them. You know, my friend, I want you to know that another book is going to be produced also. It is called the Book of Life. The Book of Life. And friend, in this book are written the names of all the redeemed of all the ages. Now, if it seems strange to you that this book should be brought forth at the judgment of the lost, when it contains only the record of the names of those who've been saved, we have the answer clearly given in the last verse of Revelation chapter 20. There we read these words, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This book then, friend, is brought forth to show that these have never received the Lord Jesus Christ. Their names are missing from the book of life. If their name had been there, they would have had no record in the book of works. The evidence is therefore doubly conclusive, and the judgment falls. And so we read, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My friend, it's going to be terrible to stand before God and his Son without the blood that cleanseth from all sin. Here you are today listening to the word of God, and before another hour passes, you could be down in hell awaiting the time when you must stand before the great white throne and hear those ominous words, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Friend, is this going to be your future? Well, if it is, it would have been better to never have heard the gospel at all than to hear it and reject it. Friend, if you're not going to hear and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I wish you had never tuned into this program today, because it will only count against you and add to your condemnation in that day. Yes, it were better for you if you had never been born. Now, this last book, the Book of Life, is very appropriately named. It is a book which lists those who passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life. It bears the names of those who were once dead in trespasses and in sin, but who are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It contains the names of all those who have accepted the free gift of God, for we read in Romans 6:23 that even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, my friend, the Book of Life is truly one that lists the names of all who have been born again by the Holy Spirit of God from above. Now today I've been telling you about the Great White Throne Judgment and what's going to take place there if you die without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you know, friend, this is still the day of God's grace, so it isn't too late for you yet. This wonderful book of the Revelation, so full of the judgments, ends with a gracious invitation. We read in Revelation 22 and verse 17, this wonderful last invitation in the Word of God. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Yes, friends, three times over the invitation goes forth, Come, come. Is there anyone listening in today who is burdened by their sin? If so, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ gives that gracious invitation in Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friend, wouldn't you like to know your sins forgiven today? Wouldn't you like to have the assurance that if you were to die today, it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Well, friend, you can be saved this very moment right where you are. I don't care whether you're at home, at work, or riding around in an automobile. If you'll acknowledge before God that you're a hell-deserving sinner, and you can't do a thing to save your own soul, and if you sincerely believe that Jesus Christ bore your sins in His own body on the tree, friend, you'll be saved that very moment. Yes, you'll be saved not only for time, but thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. Now, friend, God has made it possible for you to hear the gospel today, and perhaps it's for the last time. Are you going to reject the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? And if so, friend, you are trampling underfoot the blood of God's dear Son. You are blinding your eyes to the shameful, cursed death of Calvary's cross. But let me warn you in love for your soul, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Sure, you may scoff at the death of Christ and give little or no thought to your soul's eternal destiny, but the fact remains that whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, in closing, my friend, let me say to any who are giving serious thought to the gospel today, please don't put it off. Friend, there are millions of souls in hell today that expected to get saved someday. Yes, but that someday never came. They were cut down out of time, and their someday disappeared as a vapor in the air. God tells you, my friend, in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So you see, friend, you have no guarantee that you'll get saved someday. The longer you put it off, the less chance that you'll ever be saved at all. For God tells us in Proverbs 29 and 1, He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Did you hear that, friend? Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Yes, once the wrath of God falls upon you in judgment, there's no remedy for it. The same Jesus Christ that would be your Savior today is going to be your judge at the great white throne. In John 5 and verse 22, Jesus Christ said, The Father judgeth no man, but He hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Friend, God loves you today, and God comes to you in love. But my friend at the great white throne, He'll pour forth the vials of His terrible wrath upon every Christ rejecter. That same Jesus Christ that you're casting aside right now will be present when they bind you hand and foot and cast you into the lake of fire. Friend, what will it take to bring you to Christ? Hasn't God done everything possible to provide a way of escape from the wrath to come? Hasn't He given His own Son to die for you at Calvary's cross? And friend, let me ask you the question. If you're not depending upon the blood of Jesus Christ to take you into God's heaven, then tell me, friend, upon what or upon whom are you depending? Friend, please don't put it off. Right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, I plead with you in love for your soul. Admit that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Acknowledge you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Then look by faith to Calvary's cross, and there see the Lord Jesus Christ dying for your sin. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, yes, in view of that great white throne judgment, I plead with you to admit that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Accept Him as your Savior right now. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we come to Thee again at the close of another gospel message to ask Thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to His honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.